Hello, everybody. Hello, internet.
Hi, Weird. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you don't know it, but Weird was extremely late tonight.
Mm-hmm. Extremely late.
Sorry. So late, I was going to hang up.
Yeah, it was like Brita had just gotten through saying, "All right, I'm hanging up," and you popped in. It was that close.
Yeah, I was just about to. I said, "Okay, it's 8:22. I'm calling it," and you popped up.
And I came onto the call going, "He isn't either. I'm leaving."
Yeah.
And Jay's not here because Jay is. I don't even know what Jay's doing. He didn't tell us. He just said he's not here.
He's a secret squirrel.
Yeah, some super secret.
He's currently assassinating the Pope.
I don't think so.
He should. There's one person who deserves to catch a bullet. It's fucking Francis.
Don't ask me about the Pope.
Brita's contractually obligated not to say anything bad about the Pope.
No, that's not true at all. I don't like the Pope. Okay. I think this Pope is a bad Pope.
He is a bad
Pope. He's the liberation theology Pope. I went to Catholic college and I had to take a liberation theology class. And it was all, I was still like kind of liberal then. And even then I was like, this is bullshit. You know,
yeah.
It's just all namby-pamby liberal bullshit. And that's the Pope that we have right now. And the whole point of the liberation theology is to get the brown people to join the church.
Yeah,
like
times.
South America, Africa, because the Catholic Church recognizes the fact that Catholic, like, church attendance and you know, as a result, money is dwindling in the United States and in Europe. So they are now trying to increase the faith in the brown people sections of the world.
Well,
they've
lost Europe.
Well, yeah, but by using liberation theology, you know, they're thinking that that will help.
Hmm. Yeah.
But that's the whole point, you know.
And it may help to an extent, but
it's working really well in South America.
But of course, the cool thing about it is if you're ushering in commie stuff, what's the first thing the commies do?
Right.
They nuke the church.
Right. I don't know. Ronan,
it seems kind of self-defeating.
Oop, cat drink. Yeah. I am so late, I don't even have a drink.
Oh my God. We're doing the show sober.
Do you need to take a break and go get a drink?
I think I'll be okay.
I don't know, Weird. I think you should maybe go pour yourself a cocktail.
You guys are that bad?
No. We'll just wait on you. It's fine.
All right, I'm gonna go get a cocktail. I'm doing this shit.
All right, I'm having a glass of wine.
What kind of wine?
It's white wine. I don't really, you know, ever since I can't drink beer anymore, I have to resort to wine a lot of the time because gluten-free beer, number one, is very expensive. Gluten-free beer, number two, usually most gluten-free beer sucks. So I kind of hold out for beer when I can get the good beer. And unfortunately the good beer is like, you know, in Cuyahoga County somewhere, I have to actually drive 20 minutes to go get the good beer or more. And so I have to drink wine. I've never been a wine drinker. I don't really like a lot of red wines. I don't like wines with an oaky taste, like the wood taste. What is that?
I have no idea.
Like, tastes like wood. Yum.
Yeah,
like,
I can't drink wine for the same reason I can't drink beer. It's just bitter.
Really?
Unless it's like so sweet, like the white Zinfandel or something, I can tolerate that, but barely. But that's usually too sweet for most people, so.
Well, I usually stick to like Pinot Grigio, and that's like a kind of like a, it's not sweet really, but it doesn't have the oak flavor and it doesn't, you know, it's kind of like a clean white wine flavor. I don't know.
Red wine is completely undrinkable to me.
Yeah, I'm sure. I like Pinot Noir partly because of the because of the song, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I know.
The Kimmy Schmidt.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's a Kimmy Schmidt?
It's a show.
Oh my God. You have to watch Kimmy Schmidt.
You haven't seen it? It's on Netflix. Weird. Go watch it.
Okay. Is it good?
Wait. What is the whole title?
Something, 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 Kimmy Schmidt.
The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, that's it.
And it is fucking hilarious.
So
I've heard of it, but as a general rule, things that are hyped that much are awesome or hot garbage.
Hilarious. The pretense of the story is that Kimmy Schmidt has been, she's one of these women that was like kidnapped as a child and kept in an underground bunker by some pervert for, you know, like
some religious pervert
for like 20 years or something.
Okay.
And so they rescued her and she's like stuck in like the 70s because that's the last thing she knew or something like that. I mean, it's like
really funny.
Yeah. It's,
and she has like all the, you know, kind of weird, she doesn't remember, she doesn't know anything about pop culture and she doesn't know anything about technology
or how to deal with people or how to
she's basically kind of stuck at like a 12-year-old kind of mentality because she's been in a bunker since she was 12 or, you know, whatever. But it's really funny. And well, I don't want to ruin this show, but
yeah, watch it.
Her roommate is a black gay, he's not really a drag queen.
Thespian.
Sometimes he's a drag queen.
He's a thespian. An actor.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Well, I will have to look that up.
Highly recommended.
Yep.
Yeah. Season 3. Oh, starts May 19th.
Hey.
Yay.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
So what have you kids been up to in the past week that feels like a month?
I know. What is that about?
Yeah.
It's just been a week and it does feel really long. I don't know. I worked a lot. I worked all weekend. So, no, actually, that was last weekend. Never mind. I had a weekend. I don't know. I don't know what I've been doing. Nothing.
Maybe that's why
I made beans so for the first time in my Instant Pot.
Ooh. Oh,
Did you use your Instant Pot yet?
It hasn't even come out of the box, but I'm planning on making beef bulgogi. And it's probably going to be, I'm not going to have a chance to get the pot all out and figure it all out by first thing tomorrow morning. So I'm just going to put the beef in there, but I want to make the tomato rice in the Instant Pot. But the question is, I think I've got like the 5-quart and is there like a minimum amount? Like if I want to just make like a small amount of rice, can you make a small amount of rice in this? Or do you need to make like 4 pounds of rice?
No, you can make
you can make however much you want.
Yeah, you can make however much you want.
But it'll come out fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will make a suggestion, however.
Okay.
This is like advanced Instant Pot cooking.
Ooh.
Pot in pot.
Mm-hmm.
So you put water in the bottom of the Instant Pot. Yep. You put your trivet in.
Okay.
It came with a trivet.
Okay.
And then on top of the trivet, you put like a stainless steel bowl.
Okay.
And then you put the rice and the water for the rice in the stainless steel bowl.
Okay.
And you cook it that way so that you can do as much rice as you want that way.
Okay.
So it's not like you need to use the bottom of the Instant Pot.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it comes out perfect. I mean,
I got to go find the stainless steel bowl. I think it's in my daughter's playroom.
So, but also, and this is like advanced, it is possible to cook, like, let's say you have a curry sauce and chicken, right? Mm-hmm. So you pour the curry sauce and you put the chicken on the bottom of the pot. Then you put your trivet, then you put your bowl with the rice and the rice water.
So you put the trivet on top of the chicken?
Yeah. Because it's all stainless steel, so who cares, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you put your bowl with the rice and the rice water, and then you can cook everything all at one time and have it all just done.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Right. Yes.
Oh man. I have just been like, I am super excited about getting into this, but I have not had like a fucking moment.
Yeah.
Well, be prepared. First,
but I highly recommend the ribs because the ribs are amazing.
Yeah, they are.
But yeah, it's pretty great. I've had two people this week like send me messages on Facebook. So, how life changing is the Instant Pot? I'm like, well, you know, I don't know about life changing, but it's really pretty great.
Man,
two thumbs up from Brita.
I'm gonna be using the slow cooker for while I'm at work tomorrow to do I've got two beef shanks and two small plates of short ribs.
Nice.
And I've got a little prefab Bulgogi sauce that I just that is really good. It's the Campbell's slow cooker sauce. They make a decent Bulgogi that works real good. But the shanks are awesome. Like shanks. I'm amazed. Like I saw some oxtails on sale and I went, oh cool. Yeah, no, nope. I'll throw those in the slow cooker. Mm-hmm. And those were $1 gazillion.
Right, I know.
But a shank is like the world's biggest, most beefy oxtail. And it's like, I paid like $2 for each shank.
Yeah, they're really cheap and delicious and so beefy.
Oh, they are so good.
Yeah.
And there's just that one chunk of femur in the middle. So you just reach in and grab that chunk of femur and throw it in the fucking trash. And there you go.
What?
No. What? No, after it's cooked.
Oh, okay. But you do get the marrow, which is, if you're lucky, the marrow will stay intact and you can scoop it out and shove it in your mouth.
Yeah, as a general rule, it falls out into the crock pot. And so it gets at, but it doesn't get it eaten as an individual unit. Though I will try. Uh-oh, Brita's going to disown me for not sucking.
No, I just read a thing on Facebook and it's really funny, and it's completely off topic, but I'm going to add it in anyway.
This is the squirrel report. That is an official squirrel.
It's so funny. I have a new friend on Facebook, and he posted, what's the rule on martinis? They're like breasts. One is not enough, and three are too many. I accidentally violated the rule. Three. Oh, this leads me to my question.
Yes.
Because, well, this is a squirrel report, so I can talk about this. So I was having this thought about what if I was like a straight man, right? And Anyway. And or lesbian. I don't know. Maybe this applies to lesbians too.
But before you even finish, I'm just gonna start masturbating.
Okay.
Saw that one coming.
All right. So I was thinking, I was like, okay, let's say I grew up like as a man and, you know, I had this period in my life where I was like hooking up with different women and, you know, meeting like women out and like you'd go out on a date and get, then you're like making out and like things get like a little heated and the time comes for her. Stop, Alan.
She's getting to the grab her by the pussy part.
Okay.
No, I totally am not. The time comes for like her to take off her top.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, I said, do men have like that moment of trepidation? Like before she takes her top off, do men like have this worry in their head of, oh no, what if she has weird boobs?
I've had the other side. I never have that trepidation. But then I have suddenly realized, oh, fuck, those are weird.
Okay.
There are definitely weird boobs out there.
Thank you.
There's some really weird boobs.
Now, I've asked a couple of men about this, and the consensus was boobs are like pizza. Where, well, it may not be the best pizza, but it's still pizza. Pizza's pretty good anyway.
I have definitely, there's one particular set that comes to mind and like, I was like super duper weirded out by how they were. And then, yeah, no, I got over it pretty quick.
Oh, okay. See,
is the brain was working for a little while. Then all the blood drained out of the brain.
So it wouldn't be like a deal breaker.
No,
no,
never.
Every guy I've asked.
Brita asked me this a few days ago, and I literally couldn't comprehend what she was asking.
They're boobs. What's wrong with you?
I couldn't even. It was like, you know, it was like the whole, you know, trying to explain color to a blind man. It was just like, I don't even understand what you're talking about. I was like, what? No.
Yeah, the whole pizza sort of thing is, yes, if you're hungry, a fucking Elio's that was heated up in the microwave, it's a lousy ass pizza, but you know what? It beats the shit out of not having pizza. Yeah. And definitely fucking is always better than not fucking.
Yeah. And weird boobs are better than no boobs.
Yeah,
I've
never had a not fucking that was as good as some lousy ass sex.
How about in hindsight,
weird?
Oh, these were those same weird boobs. Yeah. same girl. Yeah, no. In hindsight, but all the way up until that point, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Oh man.
And regret. Yeah.
Okay. I guess I have a completely different perspective. I can just imagine me in my head, like seeing like something, and I'd be like,
nope. Well, Brita, let's put it this way. I mean, I was in varsity sports. I've showered with any men. There's some weird dongs out there.
Yes.
Have you ever had a weird dong moment?
Yes.
And was it
a deal breaker? Yes.
No shit. What did you do?
You know.
Did you point at it and go, what the fuck?
No. I just gracefully
Did you hit it with your purse?
Kill it.
No. Ah! But, you know. I gracefully made my exit.
There's some guys that pay extra for that, weird.
With their purse. There's whole websites just involving dudes getting kicked in the balls with high heels.
What?
And
what?
I just want to know how their shit survives.
It frequently doesn't.
I mean, it's bad enough that I frequently get punched and headbutted in my balls now because there's someone who is perfect. Like, I mean, literally my testicles are at speed bag level to this girl's fist.
Whoops.
You go to your little taekwondo thing and they got the speed bag hung up there. That is right where my sack hangs.
Oh, jeez. I think we had serious things to talk about for this show, but.
Well, we did. There was one thing that was apropos, especially since Weird was late.
Yeah.
And this was on the Daily Wire. There is apparently it is racist to expect people to show up on time.
What?
Yep.
Is this a version of this stupid colored people time shit?
No.
Yes, no. Actually it is.
Oh, no. God.
Yes.
I thought it was Irish time.
There was a this comes from a thing
we all
at
run Irish time.
No, this comes from a diversity training thing from Clemson University.
Well, I would like the Negroes to stop appropriating my culture because it's called Irish time for a reason.
There's this diversity training at Clemson University. Ugh. And they had, you know, scenarios where some people were late and, you know, that kind of thing. And, they would be wrong to advise the straggling late people that aren't respecting anyone else's time that in our country, 9 a.m. means 9 a.m. The inclusive thing to do is to recognize cultural differences that may impact the meeting and adjust accordingly. That you have to understand that
recognize cultural differences and note that, you know, if you come from a country where women aren't allowed to drive and have to wear beekeeper uniforms or 9 a.m. means whenever you fucking feel like it, not 9 a.m. So I get to sit on my ass and wait for you to fucking show up whenever you feel like it. You note that, yes, some cultures are different, and by different, some cultures are fucking terrible.
Well, that's the thing. You know, it's like it's like when we go to other, when Americans go to other countries, we're expected to abide by their cultural standards.
Yeah, when in Rome.
Right. Yet when people come here, we're supposed to just let them do whatever the fuck they want.
No. Progressives want you to let them do whatever the fuck they want. And progressives are one of those cultures that are, progressivism is one of those cultures that's complete dog shit.
Well, and I got to tell you there are, you know, cultures that don't understand what being on time is. That's complete bullshit. I work with people all over the world, and I schedule meetings with people all over the world. And when I schedule it, when, you know, a meeting is scheduled for a particular time, everybody's fucking there on time. And these are people from, you know, all over the world.
Including equatorial places?
Yeah.
Because there's certainly something to be said about equatorial culture and the fact that you really don't have any seasons or anything like that. But at the same time, you're dealing with, you know, professional successful people, also known as non-progressives. Right.
Exactly.
So while it might be in their culture to not really give a shit about what time it is or what, and just kind of show up when you feel like it, if you want to be successful, I mean, again, equatorial cultures, let's be honest, there's not a lot happening at the equator.
How does that account for the Irish time thing, though? Because they are not equatorial.
Drunk.
They're drunk.
Oh, okay.
No,
I guess
it's Irish people like to talk a lot. There's a lot of talking, and then you have to sit down and talk over a cup of tea, and then there's more talking.
Well, that's different from not showing up.
Oh, that's like Maine. Maine is the same way. That's a shitty weather thing. That is the exact opposite. That's the exact opposite of
because nobody wants to go outside,
or just like, what the fuck else are we gonna do? We can't go out and start a game of pickup baseball.
Right, sit around and talk.
We have to sit around and manners. It's sit around and argue.
Oh, probably in Ireland too.
I mean, we're really good at it. Like it is a quality argument. Like, I mean, two Mainers arguing about fucking nothing just for the sport of it. There's something to be held there.
Yeah.
Dead
I'd like
air.
To go to Maine. I'm sorry. I was just thinking about going to Maine.
It's
you should go to Maine.
I just think it's ridiculous to ascribe lack of promptness as some sort of cultural thing. It's not a cultural thing. It's the difference between lazy people and people that want to accomplish something.
I mean, I'll actually play a little devil's advocate, is there is some cultural thing to it, because of course you've got like the most industrious nations in the world are places that have long, harsh winters, because guess what? It's, you know, I was thinking about the other, so here I am paddling around in a pool in Florida where it's always summertime, and I'm seeing a bird making a nest, and I go, oh yeah, it's springtime here, so the birds are going to be making their nests, even though it feels like it's the middle of summer because it's like 80 degrees and I'm in a pool. But I realized that, you know, how do the birds really know that it's springtime? Well, the female birds that are, you know, are making nests in the dead of winter and trying to lay eggs in the dead of winter, their babies aren't going to survive, and their little genetic mistake isn't going to last.
Right.
And the males that are all in heat and horny in the dead of winter, when the females are not at all interested in that sort of stuff, he's not going to pass his stupid genes around either. So you have things that are bred out. The person that is lackadaisical and not interested in planting crops in the springtime and sowing those crops and getting those crops to fruition so that you can harvest in the fall and then store stuff for the winter time. Anyone who doesn't do that in the long, hard, cold winters, they'll find their bones in springtime. But meanwhile, if you're in the equator, it's one of those, you're hungry. Well, let's go fishing. Well, are there fish around? Is this fishing season? It's the equator. There's no such thing as seasons.
I would argue that modern modern civilization has pretty much gotten rid of all that.
Oh yeah.
As far as the United States goes, we might as well be in a tropical country because, you know, nobody,
you know, what's interesting. My daughter has a serious hankering for pomegranates. And so she was like, Daddy, I want a pomegranate. I'm like, you know what? Fine. They're good for you. Let's go find it. No pomegranates. You cannot get a pomegranate right now, at least in Massachusetts. Huh. They are not in season. I've got to assume that is the mega corp of Palm Wonderful that is doing that. Because like every place in the world grows pomegranates.
I don't know. Maybe they just have a season though. Like they just don't happen.
I'm
thinking I was at the grocery store this evening and I don't think I saw pomegranates either.
Yeah, no, my daughter went to the bakery counter and asked for pomegranates.
Aww.
And well, they were nice enough to page someone from produce to come and help her.
I go to the grocery store all the time and never see pomegranates, but then I'm not looking for them either.
You're not looking for them. Well, you have to think about like fruit that is out of season. Mm-hmm. Where like, sure, you can get strawberries in January, right? But they kind of suck.
Well, watermelons out of season are the fucking worst.
It also depends on how the fruit tolerates getting transported.
Well, yeah, but you have to think like, what is a sucky pomegranate like? I mean, pomegranates are kind of like specific. I mean, it's just like a gel around a seed, right?
I've got a dry one.
Yeah, so it's not even worth doing out of season pomegranates, maybe.
Probably.
Because out of season strawberries, like you can still kind of sell those and people will like add sugar to them. They'll be still kind of taste like strawberries. They'll be all right. But like, what do you do with an out of season pomegranate?
Put in a leaf blower. Fire it.
Yeah.
Three-man catapult will work too.
Yeah. So I don't know.
All right. Speaking of adorable things that my daughter said is, my daughter was terrified that we were going to get thrown off the airplane.
Oh.
Because she was watching the news.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, my God.
You might have.
Huh?
You might have gotten thrown off the airplane.
I don't think they pick families.
Was she wearing leggings?
Wait,
trying to think. She might have been.
Well, there you go.
But she paid for her seat. Well, we paid for her seat.
Apparently that doesn't matter.
What?
Well,
according to Shannon Watts, that doesn't matter.
Well, if they want to bump you, it won't matter.
Yeah. What is up with this shit? I just don't get that. It's one of those like, sell every seat on the plane. If somebody doesn't show up, Or somebody cancels, hey, guess what? You can, hey, guess what? That's where if somebody else's flight gets delayed or they miss their connection or all that stuff, that's where you can move people around and do the courteous thing. If you need to move flight crews, like in this stupid case. And for those who don't know, was it United? What airline was it?
Yeah, it was United.
Yep, United. Yeah,
United.
Actually, it technically was technically not United that did this. It was under the umbrella of United, but it was actually a regional carrier that subcontracts for United. So they fly a United liveried plane, but
that's not convenient.
Actually United. And what they did was this company that is not United, that just flies planes that have United paint on them and take United tickets, and the passengers think they're flying United.
Hey, guess what? You know what? That's fucking United. Sorry.
Well, yeah. However, the decision that they had this crew that needed to be in some other place, and this was not a we oversold the airplane situation, which frequently happens because they do oversell the airplane. But in this case, they didn't oversell the airplane. This particular carrier just had a crew that they needed to get. And so in their minds, their crew was more important than the paying passengers. So they bumped four paying passengers.
Well, first they did the little magic thing of the, we'll give you free tickets.
Right.
We will give you nice things if you give up your seat.
Yeah.
You which get, by the way, back when I was young and had time to burn and stuff like that, that was fucking awesome. I used to do that. I used to get bumped all the time.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Loved it. Yeah. It's pretty awesome. Like when you're heading home from someplace and you're not in a hurry.
Yeah. And oh yeah. Like, I've done that before. You take a later flight the same day and you get like a $300-$400.
Oh yeah. No. When my wife and I were first dating, she was going to school down south and I was going to school in Maine. And so I would scrounge together my money, which was, you know, college student. It's pretty tight to fly down and go see her. And I would there was at least two separate occasions I was bumped on the way home. And I'm like, fuck yeah. My next flight down here is for free.
Yeah. Yeah. But this, you know, it's kind of like whoever this is a case. Okay, it's like the Pornell's Iron Law of Bureaucracy. I think it's Pornell. The Iron Law, where over time in any organization, the people that rise to the top are people that
have this is the Peter Principle.
No. That's different. This has to do with organizations and the people that wind up controlling an organization only have the organization itself.
Yeah, I think that's Cornell's.
In their minds, it's the iron law of bureaucracy instead of the goal of the organization. So the goal of the organization in this case is to fly paying passengers and make money flying paying passengers. However, the people that made this decision were not thinking of the paying passengers. They were thinking of getting their flight crew to the other city. So the thought that, hey, maybe we should keep ratcheting up our offer and get that last, you know, marginal person willing to give up the flight instead of making a PR disaster out of this thing.
And again, being dicks to a paying customer. I mean, this guy, right. I haven't had a chance to, it's been one of those weeks. I haven't had a chance to really follow up on this story. Is there like, I saw a meme. I think it was you who posted it, Brita, the people digging up dirt on this guy. Like, what is the glaring backstory of this guy?
The glaring backstory is that I think he was arrested for this or charged with something, but he had accepted sexual favors in exchange for drugs like OxyContin.
At some point in the past.
At some point in the past. But oh, in the past. Whore. I mean, you know, in the past. And I'm not excusing it, but I'm just saying that relevant?
But he is a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's still a doctor.
I was just making sure he wasn't one of these people that like, no, he says he's a doctor, but like.
No, yeah, he's a doctor. And they interviewed like his colleagues and they said, oh yeah, he's a control freak. And he's like kind of personality issues and, you know, all this stuff.
You gotta have some person as soon as the cops come on. Mm-hmm. That's one of those like it's the Eric Garner sort of thing is one of those like no. I mean there's one angle to it, but the bottom line is when the cops say, all right, we're gonna put the cuffs on you, and there's like four or five of them. Right. Guess what? The cops are gonna fucking put the cuffs on you.
You're not gonna win.
So you
he was convicted of trading drugs for sex.
No, good for him.
Yeah. I don't know how he's still a doctor after that, but
they
whatever.
They provisionally gave him a license to practice again because he kept his nose clean for a long enough time and they let him be a doctor again. But that has nothing to do with any of this.
Absolutely nothing. Well,
no. And again, it is a little bit important the fact that this guy is a doctor and he was heading back to work.
Well, maybe we don't care. It doesn't matter who he is or what he is.
But the bottom line is he he needed to get to go where he's going. And again, I've accepted being bumped from flights before. It's always been when I was heading home. It's never been when I was
Were you taken off a flight while you're already in your chair?
Nope. I was one of those. Yeah, they announced before we even got on the plane. It was that, hey, this flight has been overbooked and anyone would like a free ticket to anywhere in the United States.
Yeah.
Please step forward. And I've heard that when I'm going somewhere and there's shit that I'm going to do and there's shit that I'm looking. I am in the cold Northeast and looking forward to the warm South. No, I'm not going to fucking take that ticket. I want four additional hours south. Yep. But yet when I'm going back to the cold, snowy Northeast, would you like to spend an extra 4 hours in Florida, even if it's at the fucking airport eating Chick-fil-A? Yeah, I think I would for a free ticket. Yes. Yes, I will.
Well, see, that's the thing is they, you know, somebody there, you know, they did it shitty. Okay. First off, whoever's scheduling this really screwed the pooch. This was a scheduling snafu. If they were going to put that air crew on the plane, they should have done it before they started boarding people. They should have said, all right, we need four places for the air crew. So we got to bump four passengers. And that's the time to do it. Once they're already seated in the plane, that's the wrong time. I'm sorry. That's just stupid.
Plus the amount of pain in the ass. Getting on a plane sucks.
Right. And then what about your luggage? Your luggage is checked. Who knows where the fuck it's going? I mean, it's going,
it's not going where you're going.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, this was
also another downside of that is actually I'm pretty like at least a couple of times it didn't, there was no problem, but there was definitely a few times where my luggage.
Well, plus you're going home, right? So if your luggage doesn't make it till the next day or day after or whatever.
I got underwear back at my apartment.
Yeah. Right. It's not a crisis. But this is as they call it in baseball. What was it? What is it? An unforced error?
Yeah.
Yeah. This was just a fuck up. And you know what's not a fuck up?
What?
Dropping the biggest non-nuclear bomb
that's ever
been used in combat on ISIS.
That's not a fuck up. I wish like me of like 10 years ago was here instead, because I have become such a fucking dove in the last decade that I'm just like, yeah, you dropped a gigantic fucking bomb on a whole bunch of people who are probably more than likely complete fucking assholes.
Yep.
And yeah, now they're dead and they died spectacularly. Yeah, there's definitely some cool factor on that, but now what? Not going to make any difference. Here's the cool trick to like assholes doing asshole things in other parts of the world. Fucking let them do it. Don't go there.
But okay. So here's the thing. You know what happened with this, right? They created this bomb back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And when what was it? Desert Storm or whatever the fuck it was. The first invasion of Iraq. The first invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan.
Oh, Iraqi freedom.
Right. They deployed it over there and then never got to use it. So, there's a bunch of people that just been just itching to drop this on some motherfuckers.
Or actually I'm thinking more about the beef shank that I'm going to, that I'm going to be cooking tomorrow is I'm like these high explosive shit. They have a pretty severe expiration date. So I'm wondering if this was like a rotisserie chicken. I wonder if they had to use it
or it was going to expire.
Yeah. Yeah. Or what was it? Is it Arkansas with their lethal injection drug?
Oh yeah. That expired.
Or it was about to expire. So they were executing like three people a night.
Yeah. Yeah. But this bomb though is pretty cool. It's so big. It is so big and so heavy that it cannot be carried by any bomber in the current U.S. inventory.
Nope.
It is dropped.
Well, they put it on like a cargo plane.
They put it on a cargo plane. They put it on a cargo plane. They put it on a C-130.
And on a pallet.
On a pallet.
Oh my God.
Like it was a Jeep or a tank or some shit. And then they fly and they just kind of shit it out the back.
Yeah, they deploy the drag chute, let the drag chute pull it out.
Yeah.
And then once the drag chute's been clear, it drops off the pallet and then it's got a little bit of satellite guidance so that because it's not a fucking bomber, it's a goddamn cargo plane. It's not good at this shit. So the bomb takes over for the sloppy drop.
It's like those, you know, what do they call those things? Where they like they strap a like a machine gun on the back of a pickup truck. You know, they call it a technical. Yeah. This is like a technical. This is like a ghetto bomber, man. This is like those. What's his name, the Syrian guy was dropping like these barrels out of helicopters that were full of explosives.
Mm-hmm.
Barrel bombs. This is the same kind of thing. We're like,
well,
it's like the low rent bomb.
Is it JDAMs? JDAMs are kind of a cool low rent bomb. We just take a bullshit bomb and just regular old dumbass fucking dumb bomb. And they're even called dumb bombs. I love it. We got smart bombs and we got the other kind.
Yeah. And this is this is like a fuel air thing.
Yeah. It's a fuel air explosive
with like, I actually think
it's a good move tactically or, you know, strategically. I think it's a good move because for 8 years now, we've had a president who kind of really did nothing. Right?
Obama was big on drone strikes on wedding parties.
Oh, sure. He like loved that. The drone strikes, but the drone strikes were not big enough for the media to notice. He could just sneak in there and bomb some, you know, aspirin factory or
I think that's really Muslim more wedding. The fact that the media was blowing Obama.
I think if Obama had dropped the GBU-43, they would have ignored it.
You think so? Oh, I don't think so.
I think they would have ignored it.
I don't think it's possible for Obama to have done that. I think it's out of character. But I think that, you know, we've had so many years of a weak. I mean, the world has noticed Obama's weakness. Sure. They noticed it.
Absolutely. You mean President Mom Jeans?
Yes.
Yes. And I think that a lot of the world situation right now is in response to that weakness that we've had. And I think that this giant fucking bomb, and I think it was, they killed one of our guys. ISIS killed one of our guys. I think I read this in the news that they killed one of our guys. And this was the response. And I think that, you know, as a strategy, I think this is a good strategy. Kill one of us and we will annihilate you. We'll drop our biggest bomb on you.
That's kind of like the Roman method.
And these, I have to say that these primitive screwheads that we're dealing with, I mean, you have to say that they're fucking inbred goat herders. Who, like,
can you call them Neolithic? Please call them Neolithic.
I don't even have words for how backwards and retarded they are. I don't have words for that. But that is what they recognize. They recognize force and they respect force. So if you're going to be the big dog, you have to be the big dog, and they will, you know. It's just the past 8 years has just allowed this whole ISIS thing to happen. And North Korea is still like running their mouth about nukes and bullshit. Come on.
Yep. I mean, there's certainly something
that's
said about
in response.
That.
I mean, that has been after 8 years of this Obama weakness that we've had. And if you know, Trump did not authorize, I don't think he authorized this big giant bomb. I think he just said to General Mattis, you do what you have to do. And Mattis said, okay.
Said, I got this big fucking bomb in the clearance bin.
Yeah. Here we go. And And you know what? There are a few things I'm happy about the spending of my tax dollars, but this I'm good with. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Well, if it's about to expire anyway, you might as well use it.
I really would. I'll put strong money that this bomb like needed to be used the next like week and a half, or else, you know what? It may not blow up. Cause like I said, they're very, most bombs, like, cause there was that whole big thing about like, was it our Tomahawk cruise missiles or something? There was some sort of like group.
Well, the Tomahawks they launched at the airfield last week, they say 59.
Yep.
Well, they launched 60. One went into the water right away.
Uh-huh.
59 did not arrive at the airport. It was more more like 26 actually made it there. The rest of them went, you know, haywire, flew into a cliff or, you know, whatever. So the hit rate on the Tomahawks was not that great.
But it was something like a bunch of these like heavily used rockets that we use were like Obama cut like all the funding, so we weren't going to build anymore.
Yeah, Tomahawks.
Except for
we got like 300 of them, and once they're gone, they're gone, and they're
and whether we shoot them or not, eventually they're just going to be dog shit.
Yes,
it's not like that, you know, Korean War surplus, you know, 30-06 that you got at the gun show, where you open up the sealed blister pack and the stuff's, you know, pristine and beautiful. Maybe the brass is a little tarnished, but guess what? It's going to go bang every single time. And guess what? It's going to, you know, it's going to hit at the zero that the rifle's at, you know, within a reason. But hey, guess what? No, it's not the same way. Even if this stuff's stored in a nice, cool, dry place, eventually the explosives aren't going to blow up, or the guidance system isn't going to work, or the batteries are going to shit out on something.
Yeah, you know what happens to batteries if you leave them in something long enough,
or just don't do anything with them. I found a place on Amazon that sold me batteries for an old phone that I had for like, I want to say they were $3 a whack. Like you couldn't buy double A's. You can't buy a rechargeable double A for the amount of money I paid on it. They're beautiful. I bought one just to start out because I was skeptical. But I'm like, it's $2 and I get free shipping. So it's one of those, like, guess what? If it's a complete piece of shit, it's $2. It was worth a try. And it was awesome. They were great batteries. They worked as well as the factory original ones. I think they were a little dodgy, like Chinese knockoffs, but they worked great. And so I went, fuck, what happens if this guy goes away? So I bought a whole bunch of batteries from the guy. Yeah, the only problem is like a couple of years later, like my last few batteries, none of them worked.
Well, there you go.
Yes.
So big bada boom.
Big bada boom.
Yeah. I approve. Show of force. I'm good with it.
I am not. I'm not sure it was the best idea to go over and start shit in the Middle East, especially in hindsight. However,
are you talking about like Bush?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm actually going to change it.
Well, you're talking about H.W. Bush, not W. Bush, or are you talking?
No, Bush? I'm talking about W. Bush. I'm talking about after the World Trade Center. I'm not entirely sure that, well, okay. So we went over and we invaded Afghanistan, and then we invaded Iraq. That Iraq was a huge mistake, I think. Afghanistan
is always a mistake.
Yeah, it was a mistake for the Soviets. It was a mistake for us. It's a waste of money and time. Yes, exactly.
Did the Ottoman Turks get their shit ruined in Afghanistan? Like, yes. There's got to be like a long list.
It's like throughout history. Throughout history, Afghanistan has been, you know, the hamburger grinder.
Yeah.
The British lost their shit it's, in Afghanistan. I mean,
it's just like the shithole.
Yeah.
Don't go to the shithole.
Invading Iraq basically destabilized the entire Middle East.
Yeah.
The terrorists that committed the 9/11 atrocity were all from Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, you know, why we decided to go to Afghanistan. That said, once you start something, you have to finish it.
Right.
And we did not do that.
Well, that's why I'd argue that George W. Bush's invasion of Iraq was not a mistake. That's really more Clinton's fuck up. The appropriate answer to Saddam Hussein is trying to take over Kuwait. Good, fucking take it.
You know, I think that this it might be a cultural misunderstanding. Also, is, you know, you say you start something, you have to finish it. I think that in a sense that we felt like, okay, we've taken Iraq, we've taken Afghanistan, we're going to go in there and we're going to finish it. And finishing it to us means something different than it does to them. Because we went in there, we're like, we're going to build infrastructure, we're going to help them reorganize their democracy, blah, blah, blah. And that is not what finishing it means to them. And I think that might be the problem there. I think it's a cultural thing.
I just realized the big reason why all those other countries have completely gotten their shit ruined by Afghanistan is because they didn't airdrop anthrax onto the whole country. Well, you airdrop anthrax on it, then you sit back for about 2 months, just guard the borders.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just, go in.
Or not.
Yeah, or not.
There's not really anything there unless you're into, like, you know, the heroin trade.
Kyber pass guns. I got to say, if I see one of those, like, at a gun show, I think I really want one. Those stupid, like, cobbled together, but actually the Chinese ones are even better. Where, like, you'll have, like a copy of an FM Browning that's obviously made completely by hand tools, and it's got Mauser roll marks all over it.
Oh boy.
And the rear sight doesn't have a notch in it. Those are pretty hilarious.
It's almost as good as the guy that made the AK out of a shovel.
Well, no, because the AK made out of a shovel is a pretty nice AK, you know, as far as things go. No. I saw there's the Forgotten Weapons channel on YouTube. Ian had. I'm trying to remember where it came from. I don't think it was either China, or it might have been either China or Khyber Pass, or it might have been like hand built at Vietnam. But it was a copy of a 1911. The chamber was absolutely too spec for 45 ACP. But because they couldn't get the locking services to work, they just set it up for direct blowback.
Oh boy.
Yeah, no, the gun's just going to blow up in your face.
Nice. Speaking of blowing up in your face.
Mm. Okay.
What happens when you misattribute a quote or don't attribute it at all?
I had a weird thing happen today. Somebody tagged me.
Not a W-E-E-R-D thing.
No, not weird. Strange. Somebody this morning tagged me on someone else's post on Facebook, and somebody had quoted me without knowing, probably without knowing they were quoting me or even knowing who I was. I don't even know how to explain this. They were quoting my thing from my blog. It was like the one genius quote I ever had from my blog.
The regret one?
It was carry your guns. It's a lighter burden than regret. And that was something I came up with in, I think it was 2008. And it was after the big Mumbai terrorist attack where, you know, a lot of people got shot and a a photographer who was taking photos of the terrorists coming in and shooting people. He said, I wish I had a gun instead of a camera. And I said, you know, I posted a link to an article about it. And I said, carry your guns. It's a lighter burden than regret. And it's a good quote. And, you know, tooting my own horn.
It's turned into a meme.
It has turned into a meme, and it's part of the
As it should, might I add.
I think so. I think it was, I actually, it's one of those blog posts, and I think back on my blog sometimes, and it's one of those blog posts where I sat for like hours thinking, just thinking, right? And I would type something in, and then I'd go back and edit it again and type it again and edit it again. And finally I typed a thing and I thought, that is it. And it was literally one line, right? And so it was like the one thing that people took away from my blog, I guess. I don't know. Amongst the cat photos and nail polish and whatever bullshit I posted. But I see it frequently. I see it around the internet, and it's always really weird when somebody like will quote me and kind of misquote me. They'll get the whole gist of the quote. They'll misquote me, but they'll kind of misquote me and, but they don't know who I am, and they probably have never read my blog. And I'm thinking, where do they get this from? And I'm thinking, it's kind of like that whole, you know, that game of telephone where you'd whisper in somebody's ear, you'd whisper a thing in somebody's ear, and then they'd have to pass it on to the next person. And the first person would, you know, you'd compare, you know, the beginning, the end, to see if it matched. It's kind of like the internet version of that.
Yeah.
Well, do you have like quotes like that, weird? Like, do you have stuff like that? You see yourself on the internet? And you kind of see like a misattributed weird beard on the internet, like somebody is quoting you, but not exactly. And you kind of see yourself kind of from the outside on the internet. And it's odd.
I unfortunately haven't, but I mean, there's obviously the famous Marco Close, Major Cod Hill, U.S.
Oh
Marine Corps retired.
Yeah, that's
and
huge.
Actually that went so far as Ted Nugent quoted him in a book.
Except didn't. Because except, he quoted him Major Caudill.
And I think right? I think Marco suspects that this is especially given the US Marine Corps retired in the signature line, mm-hmm. is more than likely, you know, this was from the era where if you are older, you're not reading blogs, you're not doing these sort of things, but you are doing those stupid internet chain letters for these to anyone.
Oh, you're
and so
right.
He suspects
that
Major Cod Hill, whoever the hell he may be.
He's no one.
No, well, he might be somebody.
Okay.
But ended up forwarding the quote of Marco. He got a hold of the quote from somebody and forwarded on. And so somebody
weird.
Went, oh, he sent me this. So he must have said it.
Oh, maybe.
By the way, I'm currently reading a book actually that's called Hemingway Didn't Say That. That is all on this exact subject of misattributing quotes.
I always, before I post anything online ever, I always research the quotes,
and I always find that I don't believe they actually said that.
Yeah, and sometimes it is like they said it kind of in a way, but then it has like taken on a different life after they've said it. I had this whole experience after this past week was National Library Week. Thank you very much. But I'm in charge of the library's Facebook page. I'm one of the people in charge of the library's Facebook page. And one of the famous Neil Gaiman,
I think.
Whatever. I don't read his books. He has this whole thing about libraries and librarians. And there is this kind of
he's
quote
not the only
meme.
One.
there's kind of this quote meme thing going around with one of his supposed quotes, and I was going to post it, but I researched it and it wasn't. He said the thing, kind of, and then it got kind of it was kind of shortened and then put into a thing, and I didn't feel comfortable reposting it because it was not exact. And I wish more people would research their quotes before they post them on Facebook or anywhere else online, because it, you know, come on. It's important.
Well,
so anyway,
much to my chagrin.
Can I tell the thing that happened at the library at the light?
Yeah, but I just wanted to say, much to my chagrin.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln never said a fucking thing about the internet.
He did not. I'm sorry.
But he did own a Make America Great Again hat.
You sure that wasn't Photoshop? Yes.
No, because Photoshop wasn't invented back then.
What happened at the library week?
Well, this is the end of the show, so I want to give a little library anecdote. What was it, last night? Yeah. I had a library patron come in last night, and he had what he referred to as his new cell phone, which looked like somebody else's old cell phone. And he wanted to activate Facebook on his new cell phone. And he didn't have a email account to, you know, when you're putting your app on the smartphone, you have to put in your email and blah, blah, blah. So he wanted to sign up for Gmail, and he needed a lot of help with that. And one of the reasons why he needed my help signing up for Gmail was because the password that he kept putting in was too short. And, you know, like Gmail like requires like 8 characters or more, and then a mix of characters, blah, blah, blah. But no, he just had 4 characters, and he had helpfully like written down all the stuff. Like he'd written down like the phone number he'd use. He'd written down like the email account that he'd use. And he'd also written down the password that he tried to use signing up for Gmail. And it was 4 characters, and it spelled out the word pimp.
Nice.
Nice. So that was like, you know, happy library week, Brita. Helping pimps sign up for Gmail.
With a likely stolen phone.
With a likely stolen phone. Yeah, I'm thinking it was stolen. I don't know.
He gotta stay in touch with his ladies.
Yeah. I think his email account is dandydad1234@gmail.com.
Hey.
If anybody wants to investigate that, pretty sure that's him.
And he's probably looking for gay sex with a name like that.
You know, I don't even know. I don't want to know.
So if you are thirsty for cock, send an email.
I'm going to check Facebook right now to see if dandydad@gmail.com.
You think he actually got his account working?
Oh, my God. Probably not without my help. Yeah.
So you helped a pimp.
I think I like to think of him more as an aspiring pimp.
An aspiring pimp. he's the pimp version of those guys, that the Stolen Valor guys that, like, you know, want to dress up in a uniform. He's like a pretend pimp. He's a weekend pimp.
Right. Exactly.
he likes to cosplay a pimp.
He's going to have to try harder. Yeah, I don't know.
Yep. Well, we managed to pull a show out of it after all. And go for a full hour.
I know.
I'm amazed.
Jay says he's sorry he missed it.
Yeah, well, screw him.
What color people time?
Screw you, Jay.
Yeah. That's twice.
That's right.
2 weeks in a row.
What voting him off the island.
One time is a something, and second time is a something, and third time is enemy action.
That would be Ian Fleming writing for our Goldfinger. Yes, once is happenstance, twice is coincidence, three times is enemy action.
Jay, you have one more chance. He better be here next week.
He better. Oh, yeah, because next week we'll have a show next week, but the week after that we're going to take the week off.
Yes.
And then we'll be back. Because I got to go places and do things, and I won't be available to host the show. Sorry.
I think everyone will survive.
You'll have to go a week without squirrels. But that said, we have some lovely, wonderful
parting gifts.
Comments on iTunes.
Oh my God.
And ooh. They all have like 5 stars, and it's like, we got like 37 something odd comments, but given the number of people that listen to this show, 37 is paltry. So I'm going to ask, if you haven't commented and given us 5 stars, please go to the iTunes. And
what does this do for us?
It makes my ego happy.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, it gives us piles and piles of money.
Don't you know that there's
so much money in it?
Nobody really knows what goes on inside of iTunes.
Okay.
I don't know if the reviews have anything to do with iTunes itself. However, when people go looking for podcasts to read and they see one with a whole bunch of reviews that are all good, that makes them go, huh, I want to listen to that versus some podcast with like no reviews or like, you know, 1 star, this sucks, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay. So we do want people to listen to our show.
Well, yeah. Otherwise, why bother doing it? I am not one of those people that's going to sit back and go, I don't care if anybody listens to my show. I do it for me, not for them.
It's for the art.
Bullshit. I want people to listen to it and enjoy it. It makes me happy when I hear people that go, I like the show. It freaks me out a little. I gotta be honest. I'm enough of an introvert that the glaring spotlight of other people paying attention to me makes me a little weirded out. But I do enjoy bringing a little bit of happiness and pleasure into people's lives. And, it makes me happy to hear people say they appreciate the show.
By the way, speaking of the whole quote thing, I am amused when I see more hog show up in other people's iTunes reviews. I think that's my big issue, is I have been quoted by other places, by other people, sometimes people who don't know me, most of the time people who, I mean, know me on the internet, know of me, and all that. But the big thing is that I think it's because I'm such a ham-handed simpleton bastard. It's pretty hard to quote me out of context.
2 words, more hog.
That's more right. Hog.
More hog. And we'll be back. Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah.
Blah, blah.
Done fucked that up.
I screwed that up. Sorry. We'll be back next week, and have a good weekend, everyone.
Okay, you too.
Good night, Internet. Happy Easter. Yep. Yes, happy Easter.
All right. Bye.